T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, I certainly hope so. Entertained and informed along the way as we venture into the fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mack Show here on Tuesday. Very special 2 hours today. If you did not have an opportunity to hear it, may I recommend that you go to our website, 1063WORD.com. Listen to the podcast for all or part of the first 2 hours of the program because my friends Dave Schwartz from Freedom Action Network of South Carolina and Ashley Landis from the South Carolina Policy Council were here. And we were talking about roads, among other things, and what you can do to get some action out of your legislators in Columbia, specifically telling them where the pothole problems are that are affecting you and drilling down with your state legislator or state senator, state representative or state senator to demand some action on it. And it's good stuff. And by the way, Fan of SC is revisiting something we did a number of years ago when the gas tax battle was going on. On July the 1st, next week, July the 1st, Fan of SC is going to be out from 7 until 9 in the morning at the Eagle gas station on Pelham Road. That's right there at the Y, where East North Street continues straight, and if you bear to the right, you get onto Pelham Road. Eagle Gas Station is right after you bear to the right, is there on your left. They'll be there from 7 to 9 in the morning, and they are going to be offering you tax-free gas. That's right. They're going to pay the gas tax for every gallon of gas that you pump on July the 1st, so take advantage of that, all right? And great stuff having them in the studio today. We'll do that again sometime down the road. We did it a couple of months ago, and I think it behooves us to give you a bunch of worthwhile information that you can use in dealing with the good old boys in Columbia. Here we go, fourth and final hour, the bonus hour, the Bobby Mack Show, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcome. To be a part of the conversation, just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line. That number is 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. And my email address is bob@1063WORD.com. To the phones we go. Stephanie is next up. Steph is in Woodruff. Hi, Stephanie, and welcome to the program.
I've been to Norway. I've been to Sweden. I tell you what, they're the most, probably the most unhappy people I've ever seen.
Well, the climate, I think, alone would be enough to do that to you, but the socialism hasn't helped. And by the way, Sweden has now given up on many of their socialist governmental policies and are reverting back to capitalism for the simple reason that they didn't work.
I understand. But the problem that I see is all these people over there telling about all the free stuff, they're not saying how much this is going to cost. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be 60% of everyone's income.
Wouldn't surprise me in the
Everybody.
Least. And that may not prove to be enough.
And that might not prove to be enough, but if they're saying, hey, $15 an hour, by the time you're done, they're left with $270 a week. You think they're going to be happy with that?
Yeah.
What about us on Social Security? I mean, say you got $1,500 a month in Social Security, you're going to be happy with $870? How are you going to live?
Well, sadly, you know, Crazy Bernie and Kamala Harris and the others that are pushing a pure, what they call Democrat socialist agenda, and that's an oxymoron in itself. There's nothing democratic about socialism because everything is run by the state. But they promise all these pie-in-the-sky proposals without any suggestion of how in the real world they would be paid for. And at the end of the day, as we see in Venezuela, as we've seen in Cuba, as we've seen in any of the other communist countries, it turns into a totalitarian state, and people end up with, well, Churchill described socialism as people having an equal sharing of misery, and I think that's correct.
Yeah, it is correct, but how come they're not telling the people that this is what's going to happen? Maybe they might say some of these millennials and some of these women saying, hey, you know, I'm going to lose 60% of my income to these taxes because there is no free stuff.
Well, but you know as well as I do, Stephanie, if they prefer to paint pie-in-the-sky images of how wonderful socialism is going to be, then they can persuade people to vote for it. And if they tell the truth about it, they get the opposite result. Thanks, Stephanie. I appreciate the call. Dozen minutes after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. Meantime, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials in the Pacific Northwest, taking a somewhat unusual step. They are criticizing the state of Washington's new sanctuary state law by giving detailed examples of the dangers they believe it presents to the public. They put out a press release today listing seven cases in which ICE requested detainers for criminal illegal aliens being held in local jails, which requests were ignored, many with tragic consequences. According to ICE, Rosario Ramos Ramos was arrested last January for murder and dismembering his victim just months after Ramos was released from a Washington jail, despite ICE's request for an immigration detainer and notification of his pending release, neither of which were honored. ICE also citing the case of Mexican national Martin Gallo Gallardo, who was in a Clackamas County, Oregon jail. Jail officials ignoring the ICE request for an immigration detainer and notification of release. Senor Gallardo was released and within months was rearrested, this time for allegedly murdering his wife. The most recent case involves Francisco Carranza Ramirez, also in the U.S. illegally, convicted of raping a wheelchair-bound Seattle woman twice. He was sentenced to time served and released under the judge's order that he self-deport back to Mexico. King County Sheriff's officials say he eventually did return to Mexico, but not before assaulting his victim a third time. Meantime, Washington State just passed what some immigration advocates are calling the strongest sanctuary state law in the country. It forbids local jails and state prisons from honoring ICE immigration detainers and even prevents corrections officials from even letting ICE know about the pending release of a criminal illegal immigrant. It also instructs the Attorney General to draft new rules restricting ICE agents from making immigration arrests at courthouses and hospitals. The wacko governor out there, who's an idiot, Democrat Governor Jay Inslee, reportedly said, "We will not be complicit in the Trump administration's depraved efforts to break up hardworking immigrant and refugee families." Uh-huh. Yeah, and we've seen a few examples of them right there. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here. When we come right back on the other side, the Tuesday, day before Thursday edition of Boneheads in the News.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That is correct.
Yep. Precisely right. 6:20 here on the Bobby Mack Show in on my text line. Bobby, please remind people they will let you vote in a socialist country, but you'll have to fight your way out. Thanks from Dennis. Sorry, this one came across garbled and makes no sense. Bobby, should be great entertainment, talking about the Democrat debates tomorrow night and Thursday night. Should be great entertainment, the most closed-minded, inclusive people on the face of the earth facing off with each other. Oh, I'm further left than you are. No, you're not. I'm way further left than you. Bobby, oh, I'm sorry. I already read that one. Already shared that one. Okay, good. So here we go. Time for today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes, indeedy. Did you know there's such a thing as a Miss Hooters girl pageant? Yeah. Where Hooters waitresses from all over the world compete? Well, now you know about it, and it's all thanks to one special contestant. That would be 21-year-old Madison Rogers, Nashville, Tennessee. She is, of course, a Hooters waitress. In April, she finished in 5th place in the Miss Hooters Girl Tennessee pageant, where the winner would go on to the international one. Well, back on May 31st, Madison's boyfriend broke up with her after 2 years. She responded by breaking into his house later that day and destroying the place. When he got home, Madison started attacking him. He called 911. She was arrested and charged with vandalism and felony aggravated burglary. This can't be good. As for the Miss Hooters International pageant, it went down this past weekend. The winner was a Hooters girl from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. First runner-up, the Hooters girl from Tennessee, who defeated Madison in that local contest. She's now out of the running, of course. You know, there's no faster way to lose your best friends than by scamming your best friends. Someone just posted a story on a wedding shaming Facebook group about a bride busted for trying to rip off her bridesmaid. Apparently, she and her maid of honor cooked up a scam where they would tell the bridesmaids their dresses were $400. But the actual price was $200. They were going to use the extra money to help pay for the bride's wedding dress. Well, the scam fell apart when one of the bridesmaids went to the dress shop to try it on, and one of the salespeople blew it by telling her it only cost $200. That woman confronted the maid of honor who revealed the scam, and according to that bridesmaid, 4 of us dropped out of the wedding immediately. Immediately! Immediately! This is kind of sad. A woman in Minnesota, doing her laundry last Wednesday, didn't realize her cat, Felix, had jumped into the washing machine.
My cat went through the wash cycle. He's our little miracle kitty, so just praying for a full recovery. One godsend is it was on express wash, then heard a little meow. All of a sudden, I saw a little white back foot go up in the air, and I can't even tell you what that was like. But I mean, he must have slipped in there. When I turned my back, we're not sure if he recognizes us yet. He's like leaning forward and wanting to be petted. So that gives me some hope that he knows somebody cares.
Yeah, well, when he does come fully back to consciousness and realizes who you are, look out. Somehow, Kitty survived a full 45-minute wash cycle, including rinse and spin. Yeah, Kitty was nice and clean. He's at the animal hospital, oxygen support, and an IV. But they're saying he can already move and is eating. So those are good signs. 10 police recruits in Philly kicked out of the academy for cheating on a test.
Good afternoon, Paris. Good afternoon,
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Here's the correct audio for that.
One of the members of that platoon had obtained the answers to the test, which, by the way, would have been an open book test anyway. He obtained the answers to the test and began distributing them to several of his classmates. This was detected by another recruit who immediately reported it to his superiors. An investigation was subsequently launched within the police academy. That investigation determined that a total of 10 recruits had obtained the answers to the test. We believe that the first recruit I described distributed it to the remaining 9.
Yeah, well, all 10 were kicked out of the academy.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
why do you need to cheat on an open book test? How about this one? What is up with preschoolers? Video making the rounds of a preschooler at a graduation earlier this month. Right after the teacher welcomes everyone, one of the little you-know-whats shouts, "Shut the F up!" She asks him to leave, and he says, "No, B-word." Here's what it sounded like.
Good afternoon, parents. Good afternoon, boys and girls.
Shut the F
up. Hey.
No, thank you.
You
need to leave?
No.
Okay.
Oh, he's out.
Yeah, he's out of here. What do you think? Future mayor? Future U.S. senator? How about this guy in Florida jumped a 20-foot canal in his Nissan Versa last Wednesday night, Dukes of Hazzard style. He wrecked the car, as you might imagine. Took off on foot, but the car wasn't all that he wrecked. Here's a witness.
He thought he was in a Dukes of Hazzard. He was driving full speed, came across the canal. He landed right here in the bank, as you can see. Hit the truck right here. He spent out. He got on feet, started running. I went inside. I was scared. I mean, the stunt devil, put me in a movie, yeah, but the real life, no, I don't think so. You're lucky.
Deputies say 35-year-old Robert Foley wore his seatbelt for the jump. In addition to breaking his car, he broke his back.
Wow. Did he wear a crash helmet while he was at it? Ay, ay, ay. Now, this is kind of ironic because my baby doll Brenda and I were watching Jay Leno's Garage the other night. And one of the things they had on there was an amphicar. You remember these things? They were back in the 60s. It was a car that could become a boat. Yeah. On American Pickers last night, Frank and Mike came across a promotional car for a southern radio station somewhere west of the Mississippi, because the call letters are KLYR. They drove it to events. It floated down rivers. The owner turned down their generous offer for the Ampha car.
It's an Ampha car.
Yeah, Ampha car.
Yeah. The Ampha car has two transmissions, one for land and one for water. There's a little box that you can switch it over for when you get into the water. When you engage it, there's two propellers in the back. They start spinning. There was a radio station that had
three
of them. Yeah, they had three of them back in the 60s. It's only got 800 or 900 original miles on it.
Can I make you an offer on it?
Original paint, local radio station, very cool. It's got the look. $25,000.
I just got too many memories. Real hard for me to sell it. It'll be my wife's burden to deal with.
Okay. From what I saw on Jay Leno on his garage, Ampha car is actually worth more than the $25,000 they were offered. And finally this evening in Boneheads, a new study found that technically a team of women could colonize Mars without men, because frozen sperm can survive in microgravity. Kind of a reminder of the 1967 classic film, Mars Needs Women.
Colonel, the message is Mars needs women.
These were the words that startled the world. This was the reason for an invasion that shocked the Earth.
You bet.
Martians, beings from outer space.
Wow.
With one prime objective.
What's that?
Women.
Oh,
Earth
women.
To help repopulate their dying planet, to bring new blood to an ancient civilization. Mars needs women.
Yeah, it was a biggie, all right. I remember it from the Oscar ceremony, I think, in 1967. There you go. There's today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
6:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Right back with the last half of the bonus hour coming up.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. We are in the closing half of the bonus hour here on this Tuesday evening. Great to have you along. Number of other things going on. Nancy Pelosi is still having difficulty. Her job is essentially trying to herd cats these days. But look, you know, when the most visible person in your party is a member of Congress who's been there for 6 months, that would be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, you got some serious problems here. Meantime, HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, is going to run out of money in a couple of weeks, and legislators, naturally, they are averse to working through a holiday like the upcoming Independence Day holiday. So, in an effort to end the impasse and get legislators home for Independence Day, Nancy Pelosi came up with a horrendous bill that only provides for the care of illegal crossers and even gets them attorneys at taxpayer expense. By the way, the Wicked Witch of the West's bill provides nothing to border agents or for border security. Well, as you might imagine, that started a brouhaha with Nancy's communistas in the Congressional Hispanic Caucus and the Congressional Progressive Caucus. They are busy demanding changes. According to the website The Hill, the hard left wants Pelosi's package to include a new set of behavioral standards governing Customs and Border Patrol in order to ensure migrants are treated humanely. Yeah, because we all know, as AOC pointed out, they're being placed in concentration camps, right? After two children died from illnesses contracted on the arduous journey, Democrats blamed, naturally, the Border Patrol rather than the parents or whatever adults were dragging them through the desert, not to mention blaming the Democrat policies that have encouraged people to incur to try and take on an arduous trip like this. So they came up with a bill introduced by Representative Paul Ruiz, a Democrat from California. Now, keep in mind, they care nothing about the bodies turning up before they get to the border, nor do they seem to care about all the rapes and the drugs and everything else associated with all the ancillary stuff. The Ruiz bill, just another way to force lawsuits leading to the elimination of all borders, which is really what the Democrats would like to see. The measure requires health screenings and translators within 12 hours and under 3 hours for those who appear vulnerable, whatever that means. It will require medications, certain emergency care, a gallon of water a day per illegal, and life-saving equipment Border Patrol already does their best to provide. But, of course, they're so overwhelmed with the Democrats' open border policy, naturally, you can understand, they don't have enough for everyone. It also includes standards for nutrition, sanitation, and shelter, which is a challenge, of course, since more than 100,000 come each month. And Pelosi and the other Democrats are unwilling to provide any money for that. The bill is simply to make it easier to sue Border Patrol with the goal of eliminating all detentions, period. Democrats, they can't hide the crisis at the border anymore. The talk of Pelosi and her ilk, Adam Schiffless, and the rest of them claiming, crisis at the border? What crisis at the border? There's no crisis at the border. So now they have shifted gears, and they're essentially trying to reframe it as a humanitarian crisis that's been created by whom? Who was it that created this humanitarian crisis? Of course, it was bad orange man Donald Trump. Congressman Ruiz said there's a difference between funding items they say they need versus changing behaviors by creating some humanitarian standards within CBP. We still need to pass the humanitarian standards bill that I've introduced in order to change behaviors. Otherwise, you're going to fund a system that is treating women and children in subhuman and inhumane ways, and that's not going to change simply because you have more supplies. Meantime, AOC, only too willing to chime in with more of her blathering nonsense, quote, I'm not interested in making sure that caged children are getting warmer burritos. I'm trying to make sure they're not getting caged in the first place. So, you know, she wants open borders, and she has said so pretty plainly and openly. AOC opposed the bill going into the meeting, but might vote for it with revisions that she wants. Which leads to the question, what kind of idiots sent this witch to Washington in the first place? I mean, Pelosi's bill is awful enough. It clearly demands taxpayers pay for every illegal alien's every need, but the details are infuriating. White House, of course, says, well, look, if it even gets here, it's probably going to get vetoed, referring to it as a partisan bill that underfunds necessary accounts and seems to take advantage of the current crisis by inserting policy provisions that would make our country less safe. Instead of Pelosi putting a group together, Republicans and Democrats, to solve the problem, look at what she's doing. She's got maybe her most hardcore leftist groups trying to figure out how to jam up the president. Speaking of being jammed up, Rutgers University could find themselves being jammed up. You remember we told you about what happened at Oberlin College? They had some young blacks, I don't even know if they were students at Oberlin or not, who came into this bakery, and they were trying to shoplift some stuff, and the baker held them there while calling 911. The police showed up. They eventually ended up pleading guilty, by the way. But before that happened, some of the high-ranking muckety-mucks at Oberlin College whipped their student body into a frenzy, accusing the bakery of racism and everything else you can imagine. Well, as a result of his business being damaged from the accusations leveled by Oberlin College execs and by the students protesting out front and one thing and the other, the baker won in court I think it was $33 million settlement from Oberlin College for damaging his business and his reputation. They may need to take notice of this at Rutgers University in Newark, New Jersey, scheduled to host an unusual event this week here right before Independence Day, recognizing and dismantling white organizational culture. Can somebody explain to me how you can have an event that has a racist theme like dismantling white organizational culture? I mean, what if the local Young Republicans on campus put together an event dismantling black organizational culture, or dismantling Asian organizational culture, or dismantling Latino organizational culture? Participants in this workshop will understand what is white United Statesian culture, understand the beliefs and values of white United Statesian culture, recognize characteristics of white United Statesian culture and organizations, and begin to explore the impact the culture has on professionals in the field, and learn antidotes to dismantling white organizational culture. The event will also include an address by a local artist who will teach attendees about white workplace culture through a queer feminist perspective. The event is being offered at no cost. Attendees are encouraged to make a donation. The organizers of the event claim on the event page the one-day event is worth approximately $120. To whom? Be interesting if they end up being sued as a result of this. Quarter before seven here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back to wrap things up here on Tuesday.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good times. We all like them.
Well, this is just fan-freaking-tastic.
You bet. 6:48, dozen before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. So I mentioned the Democrat debates begin tomorrow night. Boy, what a coup for BSLSD to get these. And C-SPAN, I know they have to be thrilled with this. Fox has got to be sitting back going, oh, better them than me. At least one of the candidates who will be on stage tomorrow night is having a really bad, terrible, ugly, not-so-good week. That would be South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Beetlejuice. Today, the South Bend, Indiana Police Union accusing Mayor Pete and Democrat presidential candidate of making decisions on an officer-involved fatal shooting solely for his political gain. No. You don't think he would do something like that purely for political gain, do you? The charge from the South Bend FOP, that's the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge number 36, comes as Mayor Pete, who soared from a long shot to a top-tier contender for the Democrat nomination, faces the first serious test of his presidential campaign. The union spoke out on Monday night after the mayor supported a call for a special prosecutor to investigate the fatal shooting on June 16th of a black man by a white police officer. Their move also comes after the mayor said he would contact the DOJ's Civil Rights Division to request an independent investigation. In a blistering statement last night, the union claimed that the mayor's focus on this incident is solely for his political gain and not the health of the city he serves. The mayor's comments have already and will continue to have a detrimental effect on local law enforcement officers and law enforcement officers nationwide. The mayor's comments and actions are driving a wedge between law enforcement and the community they have taken an oath to serve. The union pointed specifically to what they described as disparaging remarks the mayor made in an email last week to supporters of his presidential campaign, in which he wrote that the shooting highlighted that, quote, all police work and all of American life takes place in the shadow of racism, which hurts everyone and everything it touches, historic racism, present-day racism, generational racism. They all secrete a kind of poison into the bloodstream of this country. The 37-year-old idiot mayor canceled a policy rollout and a fundraising trip to California after the shooting death of 54-year-old Eric Logan. He was shot by Sergeant Ryan O'Neill, a 19-year police department veteran. O'Neill was responding to reports of someone breaking into cars downtown when he encountered Logan, who authorities say was armed with a knife. So, mayor's now back on the campaign trail and trying to milk this one for all it's worth. You know, in the wake of ICE releasing the information about the various people in the state of Washington that now are going to be free to go, thanks to the governor signing into law out there, making them the most strict sanctuary state in America. This today from the Gallup poll. Americans' concern with immigration continues to be heightened as 23%, nearly a quarter, name it the most important problem facing the country. This is by one percentage point the highest Gallup has ever measured for the issue since it first began recording mentions of immigration in 1993. Spiked in 2006 to 19%, spiked again in 2015 to 17%, and then the last 2 years has been up over 20%. The June 3rd through the 16th poll conducted as the U.S. continues to grapple with how to handle a surge of Central American migrants at the U.S.-Mexican border, Gallup previously found spikes in mentions of immigration as the most important U.S. problem at other times when the immigration debate intensified, including 22% in July of last year amid controversy over a U.S. policy to separate children and parents who are trying to enter the U.S. illegally. By the way, most people, probably the vast majority of people, not aware of the fact that that policy actually was implemented under the Obama administration and was not something that was started by the Trump administration. 17% in July of 2014 when a wave of young immigrants from Central American countries crossed the U.S. border illegally, and 19% in April of 2006 as the Senate worked toward passage of a comprehensive immigration reform bill that later passed but ultimately was not considered by the House. Mentions of immigration have been higher on average in 2019 than in any prior year. The 20% average to date compares to a mere 14% in 2018 and no more than 10% in any other year. So you could draw one conclusion from this, certainly, and that is President Trump has his thumb on the pulse of the American people when it comes to knowing what is of importance to them. The Gallup poll continues, yet immigration is typically finished behind the government as the nation's top problem over the past 3 years, and did so again this month when 26% of Americans named the government as the biggest problem. Government has finished ahead of immigration in all but 2 months since February of 2017, including a record 35% naming the government in February. Concern about the government broadly distributed across the three major partisan groups, 32% of Democrats and 23% of both Republicans and independents currently identifying government as the most important problem. In contrast, immigration mentions are far more common among Republicans, 42%, than Democrats, 7%. 21% of independents also name government. Asked their preferences for U.S. immigration levels, 37% of Americans say it should be kept at its present level, 35% say it should be decreased, 27% say it should be increased. You can probably draw the party lines from those numbers. The percentage wanting immigration reduced is higher than the average 30% holding this view in Gallup's two prior surveys, January of 2019 and July of 2018. In the past, many more Americans have called for a reduction than do so now, including 41% in June 5 years ago, 58% in October of 2001. That was right after 9/11, of course, and a record 65% in the mid-1990s during a surge of illegal immigration in California. So, once again, top issue for people in the Gallup poll, top problem, government, numero uno, and immigration was second on the list. Yeah, I think wrap things up for today. Back tomorrow, of course, for the Hump Day edition of the Bobby Mac Show. And stand by now as we prepare to take you to the underground command post underneath the brick and steel of a nondescript building. See you tomorrow. God bless.
That's all, folks.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello, I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye. Till our next show. Goodbye from us to you.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.